Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Derek Mason, Braden Gall. Happy New Year to everybody out there. Be safe tonight. Don't be stupid. It's amateur hour. Be smart. And a man who has never been stupid a day in his life, Greg Wyshynski, joining us here from ESPN, covering all things NHL. Greg, how are you, sir? Happy New Year.
Oh, if that were only true. I've barely been able to avoid being stupid this week.
Are you married? Are you married, Greg?
Oh yeah, very much.
Then you've been stupid every day of your life. They let us know how stupid we are all the time.
This is true, but I've also never. I mean, I try not to admit stupidity as well. It's a real give and take. But I think also, you know, the fear of the thing you just mentioned is what keeps you in line to not be stupid.
That is fair. In fact, her voice is in my head every morning when I do my radio show. I know there's a chance that her or her mother are listening, so it keeps me in line. Greg, the winter classic tomorrow, just sort of, you know, big picture, 10,000-foot view. There's obviously 2 points on the line, and it's important for a team like the Predators who are battling for a playoff spot. But big picture, do you put more emphasis on the game because you are struggling and because you need the points and because it is this bigger defining thing that's the spectacle, or do you put less pressure on it and just try to enjoy the whole pomp and circumstance of the event itself?
Having covered a number of these, it's interesting to talk to the guys about it, because when it is a game that's within their division or within their conference, there is definitely a contingent of players that are like, this is stupid. You know, the other teams in this division don't have to play in these elements, don't have to play on bad ice, don't have to play in a football stadium in a game that has the potential for a four-point swing. So there's going to be people in the locker room that would rather this game be played in an arena. On the other hand, and especially for these two teams, I think this is going to be one of those where the opportunity to play in front of 85,000 fans, to have your family be involved in the skate, you know, today at the Cotton Bowl. There's just so much other ancillary stuff that a lot of these guys probably didn't think they'd get a chance to take part in, playing in Nashville and playing in Dallas, considering what a huge bias there is towards the original six and Pittsburgh and Philly when it comes to these outdoor games. That they're just going to be more into the overall spectacle of it than be sour about, you know, having to play a critical game in you know, awkward conditions.
Now, you're absolutely right. This is a game, as a fan, you should enjoy the festivities leading up to the game. You should enjoy the festivities after the game, it being in an unusual place in regards to, you know, the world of hockey being played outside in a football stadium. That's not the norm, but the NHL loves doing that, and it's great for the fans. But as in regards to the Nashville Predators, this is, if you're looking at the NHL as a whole, this is the 20th best team in the National Hockey League. It's a far cry from where they were the last year, even the year before that. From your vantage point, you've watched this team over the years. We've had you on. Why have they fallen so far? Because just last year they were in a penthouse, and we thought this was a team that was destined for the Stanley Cup, and now we don't know if this team's going to make the playoff because they're just so inconsistent.
Yeah, and I think inconsistent is the word, right? Like, it feels like a team that's trying to find its identity. And that's weird when, you know, the coach has been there for 5 or 6 years and you figure by now they'd know who they are. But, you know, moving around the pieces at the forward position to try to, you know, obviously they to break up the top line and see if they can find another combination that really sparks, to try to figure out what's going on with the goaltending this year, insofar as the Predators having the second worst team save percentage in the league, which is, I mean, mind-boggling when you think about the legacy of this team and how well they play in that category year to year. And keep in mind, they're going against a Dallas team that's number one in that category in this game, by the way, tomorrow. It's frustrating, and it's frustrating to see what's happened with the wins and losses this year, where it does seem like every time they take a few steps forward, then all of a sudden it's a leap backward, and they just can't seem like they can get on that roll quite yet. Now, the calendar hasn't turned to 2020. There's still plenty of season left, and they're only a few points in back of Dallas with a few games in hand, so I don't think it's necessarily panic time. But I do think that I've heard more from Predators fans on social media about, you know, whether there needs to be a change behind the bench to spark this team or to get it back on a different page than I've heard in previous seasons, that's for sure.
Well, and that's the price of doing business. Greg Wyshynski joining us here. When you elevate expectations, that means the fan base sort of has, I think that you'd call it matured over the last 20 years. It's matured into a place where now they have expectations for the first time. And, you know, with that comes pressure. Most of these players and coaches know that. It's why you get into the business in the game in the first place, is to win championships and have those expectations. The closer and closer, you know, there's tons of season left, Greg, but you did call this game critical. And it is a four-point swing with two teams chasing down a playoff spot in the same division with some history from last year. The question I have is, let's say it's, you know, remove the coaching conversation from this equation. If you're David Poile and you get closer and closer to the deadline and your team is still sitting in 11th in the Western Conference, is there what is the thought process around movement at the deadline? Is it wholesale changes to try to get better and win this year? Is there a chance that there are some pieces they would sell, even if they're not in the playoffs, like, which seems completely bonkers? Just what is the strategy from a player standpoint when you're David Poile and you're approaching the deadline and you are still, let's say, in 10th or 11th place?
Well, I don't think they're going to be wholesale sellers, right? But let me put it this way. When you think how many coaches he's had as GM of the Nashville Predators versus how many deadline trades he's made, you know, it's like you kind of see the writing on the wall as far as what his thought process might be here. And I don't think he'd hesitate to make a deal to try to make this team better. I don't think he'd hesitate to make a deal to try to spark the team. this roster still is good enough to win, and maybe needs just that spark of whatever to try to, you know, change the equation. But the team he's constructed, I think, has the bones of a really good team. It's just that for whatever reason, it's not coalescing right now the way it should. And that does bring it back to the coach at some point, you know, and whether a change there is the thing that'll gel it together, or whether they just need to kind of play through this. I mean, it has been 6 years. It's been a long run. He's an amazing coach, no question about it. But it's kind of weird. I wrote about this today on ESPN. Like, it's weird to have two teams in the Winter Classic. One team had to get rid of a coach they didn't want to get rid of, and another team has a coach that everybody seems like they want to get rid of, but they're probably not going to get rid of.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You potentially have to make a change somewhere. Now, whether it's with the, you know, coaching staff or with players, I think eventually, if the season continues to go the way it has been, you got to do something before the trade deadline. If there's one player on this Nashville Predator team that you feel needs to, in order for this team to find itself, to get on a roll, Roman Josi's playing extremely well. He's probably the one guy that has been consistent all season. Other than that, and I know the goalie, which guy do you believe has to step their game up in order for this team to play more consistently?
Well, you kind of hand waved away the goalies. that's the whole key. I mean, uh-huh. We can look at this roster and say, you know, this guy should have more points, or this guy should be stouter defensively. But when you have both your goalies playing at a sub 900, you know, save percentage rate, and both of your goalies well into the negative on goals saved above average in this league, which is the metric that you use to figure out, you know, how much your goalies are out kicking their coverage. It's been an atrocious season for both those guys based on the standards that we expect from them. And so, you know, in this league, so many good things, whether it's offensively, whether it's making the coach look better, all track back to whether or not you're getting consistent winning play from your goaltending. And until, you know, Pekka and UC crest over that 900 save percentage metric, and until the Predators start to make a real climb out of 30th in the league in team save percentage, I mean, you're just going to keep treading water. Like, they can be as good as they can be up front, but if you don't have that foundation, which, again, they've had for a decade. You know, it's incredible to think that this is the Achilles heel of this team based on what the franchise has been. But this year, there's no question that when you have two of your goalies playing at sub-900 save percentage hockey, like, that just subverts everything you're trying to do. So, to me, that's the real key. And again, it's also an interesting thing because, like, you could trade for a forward, you could move, you know, a defenseman, but these are your goalies. Like, there's no question that it's going to be Pekka Rinne and Juuse Saros to kind of figure this thing out. And until they do, I feel like the Predators are just going to keep treading water.
Yeah, it's a very interesting situation with the goaltending as it pertains to this franchise. There's no question about it. Greg Wyshynski joining us here. Going back to the system, though, and the roster being in place to be pretty good, you do go down the list, though, and you go Kyle Turris, you know, almost 7.7 points per game in 7 years in Ottawa. He's got a career low at 0.5 here in Nashville. You know, Ryan Johansson, 59 goals the two seasons prior to arriving. He's had exactly 59 goals in 321 games in Nashville. Matt Duchene, Kevin Fiala is having the best year of his career in Minnesota this year after leaving the organization. You know, Wayne Simmonds wasn't really himself and was trending in the wrong direction when they acquired him last year, but 16 goals for Philly, one for Nashville. Granlund hasn't been the same player since coming to Nashville. Even Ryan Hartman. Again, there are individual excuses and reasons why guys didn't necessarily produce as well here as they did elsewhere. Is there anything that you can point to that explains sort of all of that across the board? I know they are a more sort of defensive-oriented team with goaltending as their foundation, and that's sort of been the explanation for years. Is there something else that you're noticing?
I mean, I'd have to look at the specifics. For example, for a guy like Turris, in regards to who he was playing with in Ottawa during those years, to kind of really get a sense of maybe what's been lacking for him as far as clicking with line mates in Nashville in that specific case. But in the case of the other guys, I mean, I think it's just systemic. You know, it's Nashville does a different thing, and it doesn't always translate into huge offensive numbers. I mean, you know, one of the reasons why Philip Forsberg, for example, has really been such a breakout player for the Preds in the last several seasons is because he puts up offensive numbers that seem to outpace what we expect from Nashville forwards and have expected from Nashville forwards from this team for a very long time. So I think it's the system more than anything else. But, you know, you can overcome that. I mean, you can overcome guys that don't necessarily produce at the same clip they produce in other places if they're producing in the right situations. And, you know, I think it goes back to a word we used at the beginning of the conversation, which is inconsistency. And I think that bleeds over to definitely to the offensive output as well. I do expect there to be a few goals scored tomorrow between these two teams. The over-under, I think, in Vegas is 5.5 goals. And Nashville, I think, has hit that over in 7 of 9 games. Dallas in like 4 or 5 games. So I think we should see a few goals tomorrow on what should be the traditional chippy, bad, melty ice of the Winter Classic. but you know, a bit more offensive consistency from this group is definitely necessary as well.
Greg, always a pleasure, man. Happy New Year. Stay safe out there. Don't get mixed up with too many amateurs tonight, all right?
Well, I look forward to it. I'm going to the big Eric Young Predator New Year's party tonight. I am bummed, though, because I found out that the place I went drinking last night is the same place that the party's at tonight. So, you know, I like to mix it up a little bit, but at least the beer was good, so I don't mind it too much.
If you got to go back to a repeat, it's fine. You can go back. Now, the question, how many we know that there's a record number of Preds fans. I know I was about to let you go, Greg. I'm sorry. But there's a record number of Preds fans that are supposed to be going to this game. Have you seen the sweaters? Have you seen the gold everywhere?
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure, yeah. And I was having a few with a couple of Preds fans last night, and you could see them all around. They're roaming around. They're checking out Dallas. it's going to be a real fun. I mean, the talk from the NHL the entire time has been how massive the traveling contingent of Nashville fans has been for this game. And I think that speaks to the number of tickets they've sold for this thing. I mean, it is going to be the second highest attended Winter Classic they've ever had, and potentially outdoor game they've ever had, next to the game in Michigan at the Big House. So it's going to be a real party, and you're going to have definitely that European soccer warring factions thing going on, because I imagine there's going to be a lot of blue and gold in that building tomorrow.
I love it. Eat some brisket, Greg, for me, just for me, and enjoy the game tomorrow, man.
Thanks, boys.
Absolutely. Greg Wyshynski there from ESPN. Some interesting thoughts. Insight into David Poile's thought process, I thought, was an interesting point there from Greg Wyshynski. And then what do we expect to see tomorrow in this Winter Classic, this special thing that's been built up for months and months and months, that's finally here tomorrow? We'll get into that when we come back right here. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Winter Classic tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Let me give you the rest of the good stuff coming tonight and tomorrow. And by the way, Marquise Munson is going to be emceeing / hosting the Tin Roof Watch Party tomorrow for the Winter Classic. Can you tell everybody a little bit about that?
Are you
going to
be Keese?
Are you? Yeah. Which?
Are you Keese?
Are you
Keese? That's the major question.
I think you need to be Keese.
Yeah, I do need to be Keese,
because Marquise is with the ladies at dinner, and Munson is the producer.
Yeah.
What are you with your family at, like, family vacation? Like, when you're with, like, mama and grandma and...
Marquise Lamont Munson.
The middle name's in there, too. So I think you need to be Keese, which is generally the person that goes out late on Friday nights. New Year's... You're going to be coming off New Year's Eve. It'll be New Year's Day. I don't think there's any problem with some enjoyments and some embellishments during this watch party at Tinder. If you're at a bar on Broadway,
there's going to be some New Amsterdam vodka there.
See?
So, you know,
there you go.
I may have to try that. But no, I mean, I'll be at Tin Roof tomorrow. So if you want to watch the Winter Classic with your boy, come out there to Tin Roof.
And plus,
you can win some Preds tickets. You can also win some Preds gear.
Listen,
hey. Get some swag.
Look,
get some swag.
Munson disappeared. It's Keese. That's Keese right
get
there.
Get some swag and hang out with your boy. I'm gonna be back and forth. I'm going to watch the Winter Classic, and I'm gonna skip out on watching Michigan and Alabama just to hang out with y'all. So y'all gotta hang out with your boy. Y'all can't just not show up.
Saban versus Harbaugh is like catnip to me, but I can't do it. Goodness. I'm all in on the Winter Classic.
Hey man, free swag too.
There you go. 9 a.m. Chase McCabe and Ryan Porth ringside in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl. That starts at 9 a.m. tomorrow. Obviously, a special edition of Smashville Live will follow that at 11 a.m. Gary Bettman, the NHL commissioner, is going to join them. Already looking like it could be the second biggest outdoor game ever for this. We're talking 85,000, 90,000 people potentially. It could be the second largest attended hockey game in the history. So there's all kinds of really cool things about this. Pre-game at noon, puck drop at 1. We've got also Preds Insiders and Road to Dallas coming up tonight at 6 o'clock and 7 o'clock respectively. Jared Stillman's walking around. I've not seen Jared Stillman's face before 9 a.m. in like years. And he's walking around because he's on at 10. He and Floyd are in here at 10, and then Darren Donick and Chase start at 2 today. They're switching spots because they're going to be ringside watching practice while doing a radio show all at the same time, which is cool. Now, let's get to some serious stuff, because tomorrow is going to be fun, and we're supposed to celebrate tomorrow, and tomorrow is going to be a celebration. You go down to the Tin Roof and hang out with your boy, Keese. There is a more serious conversation here, that if they get to the deadline and things are not where they're supposed to be, Greg Wyshynski made a great point about David Poile's track record of decision making. He has traded he has shown us that he will basically trade every human under the sun. If he could win a hockey game, do you think he might even trade his son? You know what I mean? Like, that's how David Poile is willing to trade any player at any point at any time. He's willing to make the big move. He's been very conservative on coaching staff and on the coaches. He's only hired two coaches in the history of his time here as a Nashville Predators GM. So odds are that if things aren't working out, the players are more likely to be, you know, in the crosshairs here from David Poile from a movement standpoint. The problem is also what Greg Wyshynski said, is that this roster is built to win, that they have the talent to win. And I rattled off all these guys: Kyle Turris, Ryan Johansson, Matt Duchene, you know, Wayne Simmonds, Mikael Granlund, Ryan Hartman, Kevin Fiala. They all have been essentially better elsewhere than they have been here. Some of that is just baked into the Nashville Predators' defensive philosophy. Some of that is maybe the coaching staff not getting enough out of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, You just try to figure out what it is and why. We can put all the blame on Lobby and the coaching staff.
And eventually that has to happen.
I mean, I don't think this is about X's and O's and diagramming plays and whatnot and how we're going to position ourselves from a defensive standpoint. Damn it, the goalies ain't playing well. There's nothing Lobby can do about that. There's no technique Lobby can teach them.
Yeah, and it's not like you could trade them.
It's not like forwards,
or defensemen where you can make trades.
It's like there's nothing he can do about it. They're not playing well. Okay, the power play has gotten a little bit better. So, yes, eventually, you know, all of this falls at the doorstep of the head coach. But the approach is, to me, is, you know, go out there and execute. Just do what you're supposed to do. And if you're doing what you're supposed to do, if you are a good team with good personnel, which we believe the Predators have, then you shouldn't be this inconsistent. Inconsistency has more to do with the players than it has to do with anything. Because this team was on a roll at the beginning of the season. Why now all of a sudden it has changed? I don't think the coaches have done anything different. The players, there's just a disconnect. There's a disconnect with each other at times. And it has caused them to be in a position they're in now. And, you know, it's like the NFL. If the quarterback isn't playing well, then you got to make up. You got to try hard to make it up in other areas.
And everybody gets, like, the quarterback gets all the blame.
Yeah. But the goalie's not playing well.
Right.
And if the goalie's not playing well, now everybody else have to try to, you know, they feel they got to do something out of the norm to kind of, you know, change things on the other end. Well, I mean, sometimes you just got to do your job. Just do your job and do what you're supposed to do in front of the goalie. And maybe, just maybe, that changes the way the game goes. But you can't think all of a sudden now the goalie's not playing. Now I got to play Superman and do things that I'm not accustomed to doing. That just compounds the problem. So I think there's a disconnect with the players on the ice at times, which has nothing to do with Lobby. I don't think there's been a time where we've questioned Lobby making a move during the game that cost him the game. I don't think that's been the case. If that's not the case,
I mean, it's the goal. You know, the goaltending right now is the primary issue. And it's not like you can go trade Pecorine. Yeah. I mean, in theory, I guess you could. But, like, it's not like you're going to go trade Pecorine or UC Saros and bring in somebody that you just assume is going to be better. Mm-hmm. Or, like, it's goaltending is different. It's like if you're light on forwards, you can go acquire a forward. If mm-hmm. you need a net front presence, you can go acquire a net front presence. If you need a third defense pairing, you can go acquire a third defense pairing. Like, you can do a lot of things to address your roster outside of the goaltending. You just can't fix that. And right now, the goaltending has been the issue. You know, Pekka, again, tomorrow is a special game, a unique game where I would like to hope that both guys are going to play and you get to see both guys, because it's like this cool experience. And you heard Greg talking about it. Like, you know, you get your family and people out there during skate to go out there and experience the whole thing. You got people on vacation. There's just a lot more going on around the game when you're a player that you have to think about than the game itself, which is an important 4-point swing in the division chasing a wild card. So it's hard to balance all of that. I get it. It's why you make millions of dollars to be professional athletes, is to handle things like that. But there's not a lot you can do to just, like, wave a wand and fix goaltending. You kind of have to just let them work themselves out of it. The problem is how long is it going to take?
Yeah.
And if it's going to take too long, no, that's it. You might not make the playoffs. And if you don't make the playoffs, people are going to start questioning everybody. And that includes the GM. That includes the head coach. That includes basically everybody but the captain at this point. Roman Josi has been, you know, just an absolute missile. Everyone else is going to face questions. And if you miss the playoffs on with that roster and that amount of money they spent, I'm sorry, you deserve to face questions. That's just how this works, man. This ain't for the faint of heart, man. This isn't small time stuff. This is the NHL where you're trying to win Stanley Cup championships. So tomorrow is, to me, not about that. Tomorrow is about celebrating hockey, celebrating non-traditional markets, celebrating the growth of the sport into the South, celebrating a rivalry in the Central Division. Tomorrow's about so much other cool stuff that I'm putting all that aside. I know you're not. You view it as a very important game.
Uh-huh.
Wyshynski called it a critical game. I'm willing to put all that aside for tomorrow and just enjoy tomorrow because uh-huh. that's how I'm going to approach it. I guarantee that's not how the players and the coaches are going to approach it either. So when we come back, Ryan Tannehill will make his first career playoff start. Are we concerned about that? Because a lot of quarterbacks who make their first career playoff start doesn't turn out well. We'll get into that when we come back. Morning Drive.
Listen, people, you can start your year off right. You know, if you're having problems at your house, you know, whether it's bricks cracking, your walls bowing, your doors or your windows sticking. I've had that problem before in my house. You know what you can do? You can call United Structural System, which is a foundation repair and waterproofing company that has served the Middle Tennessee area since 1994. They have more than 18,000 satisfied customers. That's 18,000. That's a lot of customers, okay, that are truly satisfied. And listen, their tagline here is, don't replace it, raise it. You know, you don't have to replace things. We can fix it for you. This is a company with great quality. Their work is exceptional. They have a really good reputation. Bunch of experts running around there doing the job, getting it done. And you know what? One thing that I hold true, that I love, is integrity. And this company has it. They has integrity, expertise, reputation, and quality. They'll come out to your house and they'll give you a free estimate. So don't worry about paying for someone to come out. They'll come out and they'll do it for free. It's a locally owned company. Again, they've served the Middle Tennessee area since 1994. Don't worry about them not being licensed and insured, because they are. They are licensed and insured. Okay? This is not, you know, this franchise and their slogan is, we guarantee our best, so call USS. So what are you waiting on, people? Do it. If your steps are cracking, if there's some masonry and mortar joint problems, then call United Structural System. And here's the number, because you need to do it. It's getting cold and things tend to, bricks tend to separate. Things tend to happen when the weather gets a little cold. So you want to alleviate all these problems. Here's the number to do that, all right? It's 615-227-2275. That's 615-227-2275. There's not a better company around to get this job done at your house that needs to be. And if you can't reach them on the phone, then go on your little computer or your cell phone, and here's the website, usstn.com. That's usstn.com.
You want me to intro the show back?
No, you just go. Derek, Marquise, just go. I just want to listen to this. Just don't interrupt Yola, Marquise.
Sorry, it's copyright issues.
Yeah, turn it down, then bring it back up again. She is so stinking good. She's so stinking good. You don't think Derek Mason, coach of Vanderbilt, likes that right there?
He could.
Come on, you know his music taste.
That's a possibility.
You know, he likes the Marvin Gaye. He puts on the old R&B. Come on, listen to that Yola. That's great.
Yola.
That's great. Number six album on my top albums of 2019.
It say Yola.
Walk Through Fire. Yola. Check that album out. Yola. Yola.
Yola, not Yola. Yola.
Her name's technically Yola Carter, but she just goes by one name because she's that good.
Yola.
Yeah, she's that good. All right, Ryan Tannehill, also that good this year.
Uh-huh.
Starting his first playoff game. Now, here's the interesting thing. Lamar Jackson started his first playoff game last year and was a totally different player than his regular season, right? The Chargers did a great job shutting him down last year with a scheme that showed that he was a young quarterback making his first career start. He was a rookie. Quarterbacks have struggled in their first career starts. Most of them don't play perfectly. Andrew Luck is like the rare exception who like comes out and like has the greatest comeback in the history of the playoffs in like his first career start or whatever. Was that against the Chiefs, I think? A couple years ago, like when he had like it was like 34-7 or something like that.
Yeah, they came back and won.
Yeah. Like, unless you're Andrew Luck, by and large, young rookie, first time playoff quarterbacks struggle. Ryan Tannehill is sort of a different breed, right? He's 31 years old. He's not anywhere near young, but he is making his first career playoff start. I actually think that the first career playoff start subject for Ryan Tannehill, I don't think it's a story. Normally, especially against Belichick, normally you'd say, all right, the pressure's going to get to you. They're going to have a different plan of attack. You're not used to facing playoff teams in these situations. Everything is amplified and elevated. But Ryan Tannehill's 31 years old. He's been through the league for a decade. I think all of that goes out the window because he's got so much experience. I don't expect the pressure of the moment or the newness of the playoffs or the elevated intensity to affect him much at all. Is that fair?
I wouldn't say that. Yeah, I mean, it's fair because he's been in a league for a while now. And yes, this is his first playoff start. But, you know, he understands this league. And I don't think this game, if this was his first start or, you know, his rookie year, then okay, I could sense some type of that there can potentially be a problem here. But I don't think because, you know, he has experience in the NFL, period. And, you know, he's played good football. This should be, to me, now, if it turns out to be the other way around, I would be really surprised and disappointed. But this shouldn't be bigger than him. This game shouldn't be bigger than him. Going to Gillette Stadium shouldn't be bigger than him. He's played in that stadium before. He's played against Tom Brady before.
A lot, actually. Yeah.
So this shouldn't be, you know, bigger than him. This shouldn't be something new to him. You know, the stakes are higher because it's the playoffs. That's basically what it is. But it shouldn't, for him, it shouldn't be this, you know, I feel like a fish out of water type of thing. Or, oh my goodness, this is what the playoffs is about. This is what Gillette Stadium is about. No, you're a veteran. You should understand. You should know this. You should understand this. Even if you hadn't been, you've played in some big games. Not with a one-game elimination type of thing, but you played in some big games in the NFL. So you understand this. So if he plays bad, I would be really surprised and disappointed. Because then to me, I don't think if he plays bad, then it comes down to preparation and is he truly the quarterback that can lead you, you know, far into the playoffs.
See, I'm fascinated that you said that because we've had this amazing ride. And it's like a surfer. I'm reading an old John Krakauer piece about surfing. And, mm-hmm. and it's like a surfer who catches like these monster waves. Mm-hmm. And right now the Titans are riding this monster wave. They put in Ryan Tannehill and they dropped in and they've been riding this wave for like 10 games. Mm-hmm. And it's been spectacular on offense. And what I'm worried about is the crash and burn. And what I'm worried about is, are people going to take, let's say they go up there and Belichick could just have a master plan that stops the Titans offense. Mm-hmm. It would not be that far-fetched for Bill Belichick, the greatest coach of all time, to just stop Ryan Tannehill, mm-hmm. a guy who was a backup quarterback 2 months ago. So it's not that far-fetched to think that happens. And if that does happen, what does the crash and burn look like? Does it change the way Titans fans perceive the offense moving forward? Does it change the cost that Ryan Tannehill is going to, you know, the salary that he's asking for? I don't know. I know what they can win. I know what's at stake if they win the game, which is sort of national relevancy, national respect, a second playoff game. It would only be the third quarter. He'd only be the third quarterback in Titans history to win a playoff game. Mm-hmm. Marcus Mariota, by the way, is one of the other ones. Tannehill would be that guy. And so there's a ton at stake on the positives. Nationally, there's no negative because no one expects them to win. But mm-hmm. locally, what happens if he gets shut down, and does it end or stop or stall out any of the momentum that has been built up, any of the goodwill that's been built up? I don't think it should, mm-hmm. but it's hard not to, you know, market. They switched on Marcus pretty fast. Mm-hmm. Marcus was good, then he wasn't. People hated him, right? They loved him, and then they hated him, and it was pretty quick.
I don't think they, you know, I don't think they would, you know, throw out the baby with the bathwater. But I think you do, you would as a, if he goes out and it seems like this game is bigger than him. It seems as if
I don't think that happens though.
I know. I don't expect it to happen. That's why I said if it happens, I would be really disappointed.
Yeah.
If he goes out there and play a bad game, then I think you do have to pause just a little bit and say, okay, is this the guy that can has his sort of luck sort of ran its course and now he's gonna go back to the Ryan Tannehill that came from Miami? Or is just one of those games where it happens and you move on? If it becomes bigger than him and he acts looks jittery and all of that stuff, it would be disappointing because
Marcus,
even
that,
Marcus
yeah.
in his first playoff game didn't look that way. He played well against New England.
No, Marcus is comfortable in the 2 minute drill. Yeah, he was always comfortable.
He played well against New England in the playoffs. I think he played well against Kansas City in the playoffs.
He was great against Kansas City.
So. Even Marcus in his first playoff appearance didn't seem like it was bigger than him.
They were bad in the first half.
Yeah, and he got better. But if Ryan comes out and he's anything but what he has been, then you do have to think like, man, okay, has it ran its course?
So I think you're right
Is it coming back down to what it really supposed to be?
Number one, and nobody wants to hear it because we're riding the wave still right now. Uh-huh. We're still in that giant, you know, 40-foot wave that's like off the North Shore of Hawaii. We're still riding that wave. No one wants to hear it, but there's no chance he can repeat his numbers next year.
No.
Over a 16-game season. There is statistical regression is going to happen for Ryan Tannehill in this offense. Just get ready for it. Mm-hmm. So just I'm not trying to be negative during the positive time here, but it's just reality. So he is going to revert back to the regular Tannehill. Doesn't mean he can't be better than he was in Miami, because this offense might be better suited for his skills. The play calling might fit better with his skills. There's a lot of reasons why a change of scenery might be good for him, the same way a change of scenery might be good for Marcus Mariota. But I don't think There's multiple ways to lose this game. If you lose the game because Belichick just beat you, because Tom Brady just beat you, that's one thing. It's another thing if the stage is too big for you.
Yeah.
That's very different, and I don't expect that to happen. Ryan Tannehill's played too many football games. He's played in the NFL for too long. Lamar Jackson, the stage last year, looked a little too big for him.
Uh-huh.
And the Chargers capitalized because they're a very talented defense, very well coached on that side of the ball, and they forced him into being...
And he was a rookie.
And he was a rookie. Tannehill is a 10-year veteran.
Yeah.
I don't expect it to be too big for him. There might be some magical scheme that Bill Belichick comes up with that stops him. And that's not surprising. That's not something that I would be shocked by.
Uh-huh.
What I would be shocked by is if Ryan Tannehill looks completely out of place. Because I don't expect... He's not a rookie. I don't expect that, so I think the first start thing is a little overrated for Ryan Tannehill. I'm not really viewing it that way at all. If they lose, to me, it's because the Patriots are the better team, because Bill Belichick and Tom Brady are the greatest of all time, not because Ryan Tannehill can't handle the pressure of the moment. That strikes me as a non-story for this particular game. Now, if it does happen, like you said, very, very shocking, very disappointing, and would change the way I view the future. Even if you can't, it's hard to make one game count more than 10, but a playoff game's a pretty big deal.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty big deal. Stick to sports when we come back right here on Morning Drive. Oh, thanks, Marquise. I do appreciate. Now I'll be singing that the rest of the day. I do appreciate that.
And everybody's kids who are listening in the car.
Has there been a bigger earworm in the history of music than this song?
No.
It is the most successful song in the history of music. Did you know that?
I know now.
It was number one on the Billboard top charts for longer than any song ever in the history of music, which makes it the most successful song.
I'm trying to figure out why, because it's not like
it's catchy.
The lyrics catchy. Are just something. I don't see the lure of the song. I just don't see why it was.
I think it was
to him.
What mainstream song though, from a lyrical standpoint, makes you? like, oh man, that one really made me think. Like yeah, Taylor
right.
Swift songs
yeah,
aren't
right.
exactly
really,
like.
Really, a lot of these songs, if they stay on, they're catchy songs.
They're hooky.
Yeah, they're yeah. hook songs.
And that one's got the hook, man.
Yeah.
I think it's the hook, for one. It's a different. I know people don't want to say it's not country. But,
oh, shut up. It's
but
country.
I mean,
it's whatever you want it to be.
It's a different flavor to country. Yeah. And I think the backstory of him getting yeah. blackballed from
yes.
country music and all that yeah. kind of plays a part of why that song's so successful.
Music Row doesn't hesitate to blackball a good musician. From now and again, they don't mm-hmm. got they don't have any problem with
I
that.
I hope.
I don't really want to pick on Music Row; they're powerful. But
and
like,
we talked about this. I hope that Tyler and Lil Nas X sweep the Grammys just to stick it to country music.
Tyler, oh Childers,
yeah.
Oh hell yeah!
Because he's nominated for a
yeah,
country
yeah,
Grammy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I hope he wins
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I hope Lil Nas X wins
it.
Like Record of the Year or something.
Yeah, Sturgill won a bunch of and Tyler Childers is on Sturgill's record label. Sturgill won a bunch of Grammys and didn't even get invited to like the CMAs. So like Grammys were like, yeah, you're the best. And then Music Row was like, we're not going to acknowledge you exist. So it is what it is. Music, it's a tough business, man.
Ugh, you can't join our country music. Get out of here.
Don't pick on
rap is the
they're
only,
powerful
rap
people
is the
there.
Only genre that does not do that. Rap allows anybody. I mean, one of the best rappers in the world is a white rapper. So, yeah. I mean.
LP?
Yeah. Vanilla Ice.
I thought it was Killer Mike and LP, but that's just me. Hit the button there.
The world is a crazy place.
Crazy sounding pretty good right now.
Let's lighten the mood.
After all that seriousness, you're just going to crumple it up and throw it in the trash.
And stick to sports. Now, on Morning Drive, number one.
All right, fellas, I hate to do cliche sports radio, but I'm about to do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it, cliche.
I'd rather argue about who's the greatest white rapper of all time.
Who is the greatest white rapper of all time? Eminem, Macklemore.
I want to know who you were actually referring to just then.
What?
When you said that and you made that reference.
What,
you
the
said,
greatest white rapper?
Yeah, when you made that reference, who were you talking to?
Eminem,
you talking
easy. Eminem, okay. That's
all right, I just wanted to make sure.
Eminem is regarded as a top 10 rapper of all time.
I would have, Derek, you cool with that?
Yeah, I guess I would
but
be.
Old,
but he's one of the best rappers, period.
Yeah, white or black.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
but
right.
See, but that's what I mean, that rap doesn't do that. Like, hip-hop never does that. Right. They don't, like, say, you can't do hip-hop. Like, Iggy Azalea was a female white rapper from Australia.
Beastie Boys is hip-hop.
Beastie Boys.
Yeah, and again, I mentioned LP just because I love Run the Jewels, but, like, that's a white guy and a black guy together in a hip-hop group making great music.
Yeah, Mac Miller was a great rapper when he was alive. So, it's just, there's yeah. a lot. I mean, we don't discriminate in hip-hop. So,
okay.
Be a rapper, ladies and gentlemen. But so we don't do New Year's resolutions. We're not gonna. Almost said revolution. We don't do that. So what? And I hate to do cliche sports radio, like I said. But what are you guys going into 2020 with your expectation? Your something that you want to work on in 2020?
I would like to learn how to listen better. To other people that I disagree with. How about that? I'm a good listener with my wife. I hopefully I'm a good listener with this show. I love our audience, but I need to be a better listener to other people's experiences and empathize with other people's experiences. How about that?
I want to see Star Wars now.
hey, what are you doing after the show? I'm not busy. You want to go? I haven't seen it yet.
We're going to need about 3
hours.
We're
like the only two
movie.
Humans who haven't seen it in the entire
you're probably
world.
Probably right.
I haven't
goodness.
Seen it either.
Oh, you want to go?
Morning Drive, headed to whatever your local movie
wherever
theater
it,
is
wherever it serves
to
beer.
Watch Star Wars. Yeah, that too.
I want to read. I want to read at least a book a month.
That sounds
or
so awesome.
Every other book a month.
That sounds so good.
One book every other month. That's what I want to do. And then just finish some things, some projects and some things that I've started and just hadn't finished yet. So.
Are you one of those guys that has like a project at the house that just is like halfway done for like a year and a half?
Oh, I do that, yeah.
Really?
I will do that, yeah. I start something and then just kind of put it to the side.
Yeah, like, give me an example.
I will start... say I start doing something in my closet, like a project in my closet. Like I want to rearrange some things and kind of, you know.
So not like a
not like
building new shelves
not
or
building
anything.
Things, okay. But yeah. And I just stop. And then, like, I say, you know what? I want to donate all these clothes. So I get them all together. And then I just put them to the side and won't do nothing with them.
There's people that need those clothes.
I know. I know. And I won't do anything with them.
So how about this? Finish what you start.
There we go.
How about that?
Absolutely.
I agree with you on the books because one of mine is to start reading more books. Is it cheating, though, if I use audiobooks?
No, it's
yeah.
not.
Is it cheating? Because it's like listening to a podcast.
So here's, again, everyone's different, so I'll just give you my take on this. My take on this is that it's less relaxing. Like, the audiobook form, to me, while it is more convenient, you can do it in the car, you can mm-hmm. do that kind of stuff, like, you can, while you're running, whatever. To me, it defeats sort of the purpose of sitting down and in a moment of quiet peacefulness, letting your mind go somewhere else. Does that make sense, or is that too deep? like the whole point of reading, it for me, is to mm-hmm. sit down quietly, alone, without any screaming children, which I never get time to do, and just sort of dive into something that I want to read about, whether it's fiction or nonfiction or whatever. So to me, the act of listening to it changes the experience.
You see,
does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
Makes sense.
Yeah, because my whole thing is, like, I have, like, when I go on these dates, because, you know, single male goes on dates.
And you go on a lot of dates, Marcus.
Yeah.
I mean, you know. Just don't put my business out there like that. Once again, Brent, you just said you go on dates.
No, Keith goes out with Chase. Yeah. Marquise goes out with women.
Okay, so, and then they ask me all the time, like, you know, what's your favorite book to read? I'm like, To Kill a Mockingbird.
I was going
to
say,
To Kill a Mockingbird. Hop on Pop. I don't know. But, and so I'm starting to realize, like, and I do read because I read articles. Like, I read sports articles all the time because that's what I do. I support journalism because I'm a journalism major. So that's my only bit of reading is that form.
There's one book that I was, that I do want to read. And I want to read this book, and I wrote it down because I wrote down a list of things that I want or want to read or want to do or whatnot. And this book I've been wanting to read for the longest, and you know it might upset some people. Who cares? I don't care. You know, it's called the Color of Law, and it's a forgotten history on how the government segregated America. To me, that book. I just find the title interesting. I just want to read it and just find out things. Yeah,
I think more people need to learn about the history of this country.
Exactly.
In general, across all subject matters.
Exactly. So that's the book. Understand. That's my first book of the year. That's the book that I'm going to read this year.
Dark Money. Check out Dark Money from Jane Mayer. I've just finished that one. I just got one yesterday called Sapiens. And it's like this super deep dive into the history of like humankind and like how we developed from like nothing and formed communities. And it studies everything, right? Uh-huh. It studies like, you know, commerce, money, barter system, agriculture, religion. Like it studies the growth of early humankind and sort of how we got to where we are. And it's, you know, Chuck Klosterman recommended it as like the best book he's ever read. So I was like, okay, I'm a huge Chuck Klosterman fan. So I just went and checked it out. And so John Krakauer, I love John Krakauer, but I have like stacks of books that I haven't had a chance to read that are new that I have not opened yet because I just don't have time. So if my children could grow up, please,
hurry up.
That would be great.
Yeah, and if you got suggestions, like, throw them out there. Like, if you got suggestions for books, like, hey, you should read this. I think you'd be interested.
All right.
Like, do that.
I know, I read a lot of...
I know we're nerding out during Stick
totally,
Sports, but,
totally.
You know.
You know what? It's a new year, though. New us, new nerds. I will say I read a lot of nonfiction as I've gotten older because I want to read more about the history of reality. I want to know the truth about our country. I want to know the truth
I'm not a fiction guy.
So I'm not either, but I will say this because I love drug cartel stuff. I read Don Winslow. He is one of the definitive authors on the Mexican trampoline and the Colombian drug cartels. Mm-hmm. Like he has written extensively. It's fiction, but it's all based on like real life characters that took place in like the 70s, 80s, and 90s. I'm telling you, read the Power of the Dog, The Cartel, and The Border. Those are three books that are all tied into this one same series about this same special agent in the DEA. Awesome read. Yeah. Super quick. Not light. not light. When a drug cartel kingpin is like throwing, you know, children off bridges, it's not fun. But like it's illuminating, and I'm fascinated by the whole drug culture. It's just a fascinating. Mm. It's Don Winslow fiction, though, and that's good for everybody.
So if you see me at a local Barnes & Nobles with my AirPods and listening to an audiobook with my legs crossed, and
what a cardigan
jacket on. That's me. That's me learning and being a new me in 2020.
I like it.
There you go.
I like it. Good job, Munson.
I think he's making fun of me, I think.
I'm still going to eat a hot pocket. Sure.
He's going to have a hot pocket in his hand,
don't,
too.
Don't
eat while eating a hot pocket. I'm going to have a coffee in one hand, Starbucks.
Your New Year's intention needs to be fewer hot pockets. I would like you to stay our producer for a long period
hot
of time.
Hot pockets.
You know what's funny, though? I have not ate a hot pocket this year.
Good job, Munson.
In 2019?
Good job.
Not a lot.
You can say that tomorrow morning.
Yeah, you can say that tomorrow
when morning. When you're emceeing tomorrow at Tin Roof, Broadway, for the watch party, for the Winter Classic, check out my boy Marquise, maybe Keese, probably.
No, it's definitely
you can say tomorrow, I have not had a Hot Pocket this
I'm going to get on the mic and be like, yo, y'all want to win some press tickets? Make some noise.
Is Ricky going to be your hype man?
No. I mean, he might. I might actually have to suggest that. That's pretty cool.
Winter,
I mean, like a bodyguard. Like, you just stand behind me.
All of your Winter Classic news and information, how you can track it, how you can listen to it, how you can follow it, where you can watch it, all that good stuff when we come back right here, Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.